Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Red Bend TV. I am today joined by Si Hughes of The Athletic. Simon, thank you very much for joining me.
No worries, Chris. Nice to be here.
It's lovely to speak to someone outside my family unit, to be honest with you. We've had like a half an hour chat just catching up and stuff. But we're here to talk Liverpool's academy and how it's gone from where it was 10 years ago, maybe a little bit earlier, to where it is today. And of course, we are backed by The Athletic. If you want to get a 7-day free trial and 50% off your yearly subscription to The Athletic, you need to visit www.theathletic.co.uk/RedmenTV. As you know, not only is it the new home of Simon Hughes, or maybe not so new anymore, it's also the new home of football writing. Simon, let's talk about the academy. So your article, for anybody who is listening or is watching who hasn't read it yet, it's like a mini novel for a start. I wasn't prepared for the amount of time I expended in the novella, but I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Thanks.
I think you might need one of them like 25-minute read things at the top just to warn somebody. But what you did was you gripped me early and I was there for the long call. Why did you write it? Why were you... Because it wasn't like... That doesn't seem like an off-the-cuff thing. That's a well-researched piece that is going back over 15 years almost.
Yeah, well, what made me write it? I mean, I think obviously this season you're sort of looking at stuff that's relevant to now. I mean, I do want to still try and write as much over the next sort of couple of weeks and months as obviously we live in lockdown about stuff that's relevant to now. And because I think that's obviously what interests people the most. And, you know, over the last 6 to 12 months, Liverpool have been able to promote, you know, several players from the academy who've actually not just being promoted but made an impact. And it got me thinking about why that was, and sort of I just thought, you know, nobody's really written an extensive piece before about the academy as a whole, from going back to 1998 when it opened and the challenges that it's had to become a place which actually produces first team footballers for Liverpool. Because I mean, before Trent Alexander-Arnold, I mean, the last one that you'd say really sort of had a major impact, really, is in terms of the long term, is Steven Gerrard. And he didn't actually really play that much at the academy. You know, he sort of, that facility opened just a few months before he started playing in Liverpool's first team. So you have to go back even further. I mean, could I really argue that it hasn't really produced any players of note, you know, which is astonishing considering the number of players that Liverpool have had in that period and the amount of money that's been put into it. So I sort of wanted to go back and examine why that is, you know, and why things have changed, because it does feel like things have changed. It's not just players getting a chance now because, because out of convenience for the first team manager when he's trying to beef up his first team squad. You know, he genuinely does believe that some of these players are going to become established first team regulars. He believes in the academy. And, you know, so the story sort of leads in on the most recent thing, as you say. I think that's always the key with these big, long pieces. You've got to sort of hook people in with something that they don't already know about something that's relevant to now. So obviously I was writing a bit about how Liverpool are scouting in the Northwest now from the age of 6, you know, how they're looking at different new communities into the Northwest. So, you know, refugee communities, new immigrant communities from different parts of the globe who previously maybe gone unwatched to some degree. And I think Liverpool have identified through a player who they actually signed from Manchester City 5 years ago, James Balaghese, who's doing really well now he's a 16-year-old, he's playing in the under-18s and had a real impact this season. his family came from the Congo, or sorry, the DR Congo, when he was six, I think, so 6 or 7. So that made them realise that there must be players there who were coming into the country who maybe we haven't seen, that we've got to start looking at. So they've appointed a West African scout in Manchester at the moment, who's looking at a lot of the communities there, and a Polish scout who will operate across the Northwest, because obviously the Northwest has a lot of Polish communities knocking about. So yeah, it's a constantly changing thing, but I just thought, got to move in on the most up-to-date thing, which something that people don't already know, and, you know, try and get, you know, I guess, people reading.
I was a bit blown away by I forget the figure now, was it 34 scouts working the 6 to 11 age group or something like that? And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe there's that many people on the payroll for Liverpool who look after that age group. I mean, it's football's massive, and you know these clubs are ginormous, but they're like, their roots go down really, like I'd say, you can't see them, they're everywhere, they're all underneath you, and there's just fucking tons of them all over the place. 34 scouts, was it, working the six ages, looking at 6 year olds?
It's frightening. I mean, it is frightening. I mean, I sort of got a flavour for it a few years ago when I wrote another book about football in the Northwest, and I went to Fletcher Moss Rangers in Manchester, where Marcus Rashford had come from, and a couple of the other, I think Jesse Lingard had played a bit there as well. And I was listening to the guy who runs the club there, who's been there for years, and he was just telling me about just how mad it is, like the amount of people who, you know, turn up at matches, and, you know, there is a safeguarding issue, you know, because the players are so young. And I do feel a bit weird writing about sort of, you know, scouting 6 year olds. How do you scout a 6 year old? But the thing is with Liverpool, you know, this brings it back to, I guess, what Liverpool have identified is that the players that they've had the most success with over the last sort of 10 years have been the players that they've signed at that age. Mm. So Trent Alexander-Arnold was there at 6, you know, training with Liverpool. Ben Woodburn was there at 6, training with Liverpool. There are other players who come and fall into that age group. So I think Nico Williams signed at 7 or 8. I can't remember exactly what age it was. It is in the piece. You know, Curtis Jones was another one who, you know, it was quite funny that he was obviously courted by both Liverpool and Everton, and fancied himself quite a bit, you know. And I think the Everton, well, from what I've been told, the Everton scouts didn't sort of take too kindly to the way he presented himself. You know, he wanted to look and be like Cristiano Ronaldo, basically. And they just thought he was a bit of a big head. But obviously Liverpool...
This is an age what?
Yeah, this is the age of 6, you know what I mean? Which is just... insane, you know, it's just insane. So, yeah, I mean, Liverpool have obviously had a lot of success with the players who've just made the debuts this season, you know, from that age category. So it proves, I guess, I mean, I had a big debate with somebody on the comment section underneath the article, who I think was clearly a fan of another club, possibly Manchester City, who was saying, you know, this is just Liverpool have benefited from the data breach, you know, that we, you know, that basically living off Manchester City's network. And I was like, well, that's
didn't
really
staff
the
go
case.
The other way as well, yeah, though, after yeah, all it, of this?
Well, there is that issue, but the point is, all these players arrived at Liverpool before that data breach, you know, that they actually, you know, set a couple of years before. And I was told a good story about how, you know, Paul Glatzel is another one who we haven't seen in the first team, who obviously we've sort of seen him friendly matches, and they really rate it Liverpool very highly. You know, I think he, listening to people, he does have a great chance, and Klopp loves his work rate and ethic. You know, he's really, really industrious player. But him, Leighton Clarkson, Curtis Jones, they were all playing, you know, 7 or 8 years ago in an international tournament that beat Barcelona 2-1 in the final, where Paul Glatzel scored the winning penalty. You know, players like them, you know, Leighton Clarkson was another one who was told about how he's obviously played for the first team and played against Shrewsbury. He comes from Clitheroe, and in the previous regime at Liverpool, where Frank McParland was in charge, and there was more of a focus then on sort of getting the elite players at the age of 13 and 14, you know, from London clubs. And
Sterling's one of them that you mentioned,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah, you can't say that wasn't a bad idea in the end, because Liverpool, you know, benefited supremely from that process. You know, they signed Raheem Sterling, who was a great player for Liverpool, obviously they made a lot of money out of him. You'd sooner he stayed, I guess. But you know, you can't say that he didn't get a good deal out of that. Same with Jordan Ibe, same with Danny Ward. There's nearly £70-80 million of players there that they've sort of made money on. So it's not to sort of discount everything that the previous regimes have done, I guess. It's just a different way of looking at it. And Leighton Clarkson was one who basically there wasn't the money in the budget at the time to make sure that he could get from Clitheroe to the academy, because all the money was going on sort of players on higher age groups. So it meant that people at the academy would actually drive to Clitheroe and take him backwards and forwards to ensure that he could train, you know, which it's a Premier League football club. And it goes back to the whole debate at the moment about the money at Premier League football clubs. There is a huge amount of money, but it's still quite a fragile world, really. You know, there is budgeting, you know, it's not money, you know, at all costs for every age group. You know, there is a certain amount of budgeting that goes on. And had Liverpool's academy people not done that at that time, Leighton Clarkson wouldn't have made his debut against Shrewsbury. He might have gone to another club. So it does show that there's been a lot of long-term sort of planning around this. And then since Alex Inglethorpe's come in, he wanted to sort of, he sees a longer-term vision where he thinks that the players who come in at that age have got a much better chance of becoming established first-team players. And not only that, I think when you've been at the club for that length of time, it does add a certain layer of loyalty, doesn't it? I think naturally, if you've been there and gone through all that, you're not going to be in a... If you do well at Liverpool, you're not going to be desperate to get off as quickly as possible.
And you look from the outside in, don't you? And you say you're a young player who can see Liverpool and seen Everton. We've lost out over the years to Everton Football Club because there's been a path through to the first team. And I think...
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Inglethorpe says in your article, and I quote, the pipe's being clear, and he's talking about that path through to the first team. And the difference between maybe Benitez and also maybe Julier before him is that there is now a clear path to the first team. So if you're a youngster on the outside looking in, and maybe Liverpool are looking to recruit you, Simon, Liverpool have got a much better chance of that because they're giving youth a chance. And it's this sort of self-fulfilling prophecy, isn't it, where we've changed everything, we're getting better youth players because of that, we're getting more in, and then we're able to restock behind us because the path's clear.
It's a constant, like, sort of cycle, isn't it? You want that clarity between the first team and the lowest age group, I suppose. And you mentioned Everton there. I mean, it's quite interesting, really, sort of, I guess, the perceptions around what Everton have done. And it's definitely true that I think Everton, for a long period of time, was a more attractive club for youth team players on Merseyside. If you look at, like... Jack Rodwell, for example, he was at Liverpool as an 8-year-old and left and went to Everton. You know, which, you know, people might say, well, you know, he's not had the career that people wanted, but he was a very talented player. You know, who could have and it made with different decisions at different clubs had a very different career, I suppose. And then you look at other players like Tom Davies. Obviously, he's sort of the player at the moment who's made the most appearances in Everton's first team, who's come through the youth system. But Everton signed him from Tranmere Rovers when he was 11. You know, Ross Barkley was the same. He was 10 when he signed for Everton. He was picked up playing in Wavertree. And these players are obviously under Liverpool's radar, and Liverpool was competing for these players as well. But Liverpool weren't able to get them. And Liverpool's sort of policy of, I guess, different policies at different times different managers, different requirements. This has all had an impact on the continuity running through the club when there are so many changes between managers and demands. So, you know, I think, you know, I explore in the piece how pretty much from day one, you know, the people who appointed Gerard Houllier thought it was, going to be a marriage made in heaven, really, between Houllier and Highway, two people who had, you know, understood youth football and had worked for years in youth football. Obviously, Houllier in France had had a great success. But Houllier said, you know, pretty early on that he saw the future of football being big, strong, physical, athletic players. Highway didn't see it that way. He was saying, well, are you saying, you know, Michael Owen isn't good enough to play for Liverpool? And that caused friction from pretty early on in their relationship. And you've got to say, I think Houllier was right at that time in 1998-99. You know, I think that's the way football went, wasn't it? If you look at the teams that won the trophies between sort of 2000 and 2005, they were bigger, more physical teams. But then what changes that is somebody like Cesc Fabregas coming in to Arsenal's youth system, and suddenly sort of there's a different style of football that's being favoured at youth level.
And now it's both.
It's both, yeah. I mean, obviously Liverpool at this moment in time, you know, the scouts at Liverpool are very aware that, you know, the first team, you've got to be able to train at first team level, and you've got to be able to survive the physical demands of that. Otherwise, you've got no chance. So they are looking at bigger players, you know, not bigger players, but players who can run. If you can't run and you can't get about the pitch, you've got no chance at Liverpool now, I think that includes me as well. I mean, the one thing that I like about that sort of basic requirements is running around, you know, it means that players are never going to be allowed just to sort of rest on the laurels. Because if you think, the moment you think you've cracked it and you're good and you can sort of just pick up the pace and stroll through games, you're going to find it difficult getting into the team. So, you know, for that to be a basic requirement, it means the players are never going to be able to let the guard down, basically. Yeah. So it's a good message, I think, to be sending to the players.
I agree with you. And like, there's two players that when you were saying that immediately spring to mind. And one's Mesut Ozil, a wonderful footballer. He's one of those players that, you know, there are just sometimes there are players that you enjoy watching. Now, I enjoy watching him when he's got the ball at his feet, but there is nobody I hate more watching that when he hasn't, or when his team don't have possession of the football, I should say. And then I think of Luis Suarez, who for me has all the talent of a Mesut Ozil and the work rate. And I think back to those times around 13-14, and you might lose your Mesut Ozils along the way because they're not going to work as hard, but if the team wins, it doesn't really matter. But do you think there is still a place for like a Mesut Ozil, or is it the margins between success and failure are so fine now that there isn't, you can't carry a player anymore in a side that's going to go on and dominate?
I've got to be honest, not at Liverpool. I don't think a player who's got amazing ability, who doesn't understand his position, well, you wouldn't say that Mesut Ozil doesn't understand his position, but doesn't understand that his work rate impacts on the rest of the team. The way this Liverpool team is structured, you can't afford to have a passenger in midfield, can you, really? You just can't. You know, that's why, ultimately, I mean, I'm not saying Philip Coutinho was a passenger, because he wasn't, but he didn't have the lung capacity or the power of the players that have replaced him. Now, at the time, I was concerned. I obviously thought, you know, I still think sometimes Liverpool miss a player like that, I do, but I think the basic requirement now, yeah, skill, great, but first requirement is your ability to get about the pitch. So I think somebody like Curtis Jones, you know, there's always been people who questioned him a little bit about his personality a little bit, you know, because he can come across maybe a little bit immature, I think, sometimes. But people at Liverpool realise he was a May birthday. Maybe that maturity will come a bit later. But he has never, ever been questioned at all about how he's performed on the pitch. Mm. He's now learning that he doesn't have to perform on the pitch. He's got to also perform in training, you know, to that standard. So there's somebody like him. I mean, I think he has. I think he's got it. Curtis Jones, he's got the potential to become a very good player at Liverpool. He's a bit of a maverick, I think, in some ways. But he might be the last of that sort of calibre of player. I'm not saying that he's the same sort of player as Mesut Ozil, because he's not. I think he's got a bit more power than him. But, you know, that sort of a player who can see a pass, who might You know, he does things, sees things a bit differently. It's going to be very hard for those players, I think, particularly in midfield and in the forward line positions. I think you've got more of a chance of being a creative player further back the pitch in many ways at Liverpool.
Can I ask you this, Si, before we wrap it up? And it wasn't in your article, but I think the conversation's gone this way. There's something I always think about when I think about youth football and how people are scouted and stuff like that. And you know, I don't do anywhere near the level of research or thinking about these type of things as someone like you does. But I've always thought for the longest time that talent can often be confused for almost age at that level, because 9 months... You were talking there, Curtis Jones is a May birthday. Let's say someone's born in September. There's close to 9 months there. Whatever. July, maybe. Would be 9 months. Now, that's huge in the lifespan of a six-year-old child. And quite often, I wonder whether age is being mistaken for talent. And I wonder whether those July birthdays are quite often given the opportunities because they don't stand out in the football side, because they're not as strong and they're not as big and they're not as agile as someone who was born in the September. Is there any way that Liverpool would maybe be looking at that? And I'm sure there would be. But is that something that you've come across while researching this type of an article?
They definitely, the people that I spoke to were definitely appreciative of that dynamic, particularly with Curtis Jones. Because it was one of the reasons why, as I said at the beginning, you know, sort of Everton were like, not too sure about him. But they, Liverpool saw him, could see the talents, could see the ability. They looked at his birthday. He was quite small. You know, he's obviously gone quite big physically now. I saw him coming through the mix zone at West Ham when he came on as a sub. And, you know, he's got big lower body strength, like really powerful. You know, like Kenny Dalglish, you know, like down below, like, you know, sort of, you know, that sort of central point of gravity will help him. But when he was a kid, he was much smaller. You know, people were saying, does he have the sort of the mental capacity to be in a organised framework of a football club? But the people who were speaking to Liverpool, like, look, this guy, we've got to give him a chance because he is a bit younger than everybody else. So that definitely comes into the consideration when they're making a decision about players. You know, definitely 100%, it always does. And it'll be interesting to see sort of how young they do go with players, because, you know, I remember 10 years ago, when the academy first started, Liverpool weren't able to really sign any players until the age of 11 or 12. You know, and then I remember with aghast people talking about the fact they were signing them at 9 and then 7, and then gets lower and lower and lower. But, you know, where there's organised football and where there's an opportunity to showcase talent, you know, there's such a mad scramble, and clubs are so afraid of missing out on the next big thing. You know, they're prepared to go to any lengths at this moment in time. I do think Liverpool have become a bit more accepting that, you know, players have to have a bit more freedom than maybe they did a few years ago, you know, around playing not just for Liverpool and not just training with Liverpool, but playing with the school. And occasionally, you know, sometimes I was told that some players are allowed to play with the Sunday League teams as well, because they realise it's good for the social development of their personalities as well. So there's all sorts of different things. I mean, I'll just finish on this, but I remember Jamie Carragher, like when I spoke to him for another piece a few weeks ago, and it didn't quite make it into the article in the end, but it was quite an interesting thing that he said, because he was saying that, you know, people sort of, you know, poo-poo the idea of academy football not being sort of being too clean. He was saying it was a regret of his that he didn't really come into Liverpool at a later date, when he feels he loved playing at that, like, sort of elite level where you know that you're training with the best, you're playing against the best. The scoreline in games are like sort of 1-0, 2-0, proper football matches, you know what I mean? So he was saying that he thinks the standards at the academies are much higher than people actually really realise. All right, maybe there aren't many tackles being put in, but that reflects top-level football, doesn't it, now? That's the way the game's gone. So, yeah, I mean, there's a balance to be had, I think, but I do think his belief is, you know, and, you know, he's got a better understanding than most people, I would say, particularly as his son has obviously been.
Yeah, James, obviously. Yeah.
You know, the academy football is a very high standard, but I think that clubs, particularly Liverpool, you know, need to get that balance right between, you know, the commitment to playing and the freedom to go out and express yourself in different ways as well. Once it becomes, too much part of the routine. When it becomes, somebody put it to me this way, they want players to leave the car in the car park, get out the car and run into the changing rooms, you know, skip to the changing rooms and get changed. They don't want it just to become a bit of a slog, which I know a few years ago, I know parents of friends of mine who had kids at the academy, and they just found it so hard, you know, like day after day after day. They tried to change that so that there is regular contact and there is as much contact as possible, but it doesn't become so overbearing that the playing for Liverpool is just something that people take for granted.
Yeah, okay, well, there you go, Simon. Thank you very much for your time, mate. It's fully appreciated. But great chat in football and the chat we had before and about life and everything else. Don't forget, you can get a 7-day free trial with The Athletic and 50% off your yearly subscription to The Athletic by visiting www.theathletic.co.uk/RedmenTV. Thank you very much for subscribing, for liking this video. Do that now, and we'll see you next time.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.